Invite you to open your scriptures, if you've put your Bible away, to Psalm 146. I would like in this sermon to work through this psalm verse by verse, and it'll be helpful if you can follow along with an open Bible. I also note that I don't have a timepiece with me, and I don't see one on the wall, and I don't gauge time well, so I hope everything's okay and you'll be patient with me if things go on a little longer than you might expect or that I might expect. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the center of Psalm 146 is verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Help and hope. Given to us by the God of the Bible, the God of Jacob. These are the two greatest needs of all mankind, help and hope. These two statements stand in parallel to one another. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And so they're very close. And if we could distinguish between help and hope, we would say hope is the bedrock of life. God is our ultimate confidence. We rest the entire weight of our lives and all our problems, all our issues, all our worries upon him, looking to him for the full outcome, taking us step by step all the way to glory. God is our hope. And along the way, he is our help for every step, the one who reaches out to us in our troubles, in our needs, hears our cries, and gives us the help, the strength, the assistance, the support that we need as his children until we reach our ultimate hope of glory, our help and our hope. This is God our Savior. In this psalm, we're called to seek to trust this God who's our help and our hope. And the psalm begins, first of all, with a call to praise. A fourfold call to praise. Praise the Lord. Then, praise the Lord, O my soul. Then, I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. A call to praise the Lord. The last five psalms in the Psalter, Psalm 146, through Psalm 150, all begin and end with these words, praise the Lord, which in the Hebrew is hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Praise the Lord. And that really is the direction of the whole Psalter, moving in general from lament to praise as you come to the end of the Psalms, from misery to glory. This is the direction of life that God wants his people to live. He wants our lives to be directed toward the praise of his name. That doesn't mean the lament and pouring out our complaints to the Lord are wrong. We're called to do that. But in all our lament, our woe, our trouble, our worry, praise the Lord. Praise is fitting. He wants our lives to be directed in this way. So we're called to praise the Lord. And then he applies this call to himself. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let us never expect from others unless we first apply this call, the commands of the Lord, the desires of the Lord, to our own hearts. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And make it our own commitment. Thirdly, I will praise the Lord all my life. He makes that commitment to offer lifelong praise to the Lord. Not I'll praise the Lord when I get older, or I'm too old now to praise the Lord. That's for when you're younger and stronger and healthier. It's a commitment for his whole life long. As the one who belongs to God his whole life long. And then the fourth call to praise the Lord. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live, really in the Hebrew, with my whole being. In other words, he says earlier, as long as I live, he says here, as deep as my life goes, with my whole being. In other words, I won't praise the Lord just on Sundays when I come to church and there's a song put on the board and the organist starts playing and a book is shoved in front of me and I have to praise the Lord. No. What we do here is just cut from the whole fabric of our lives, that we praise the Lord as long as we live, with the whole depth of our being, all the time. It's the call of God's people. Often we're asked, how is your prayer life? We must also ask ourselves this question, how is your praise life? Is it merely occasional? And is it only skin deep, superficial, shallow? Really, your thoughts aren't there. Your life isn't directed that way. Or is praise the theme of your life all the time? You get up in the morning and praise the Lord for a new day. And you praise the Lord for His mercies every hour. His mercies that are new every morning. His faithfulness, which is very great. His kindness to you in giving you so many gifts. How is your praise life? All this is not the law coming at us saying you must praise. It's the gospel. Do you know the Lord who is worthy of praise? And that's where the psalm takes us. You can't praise the Lord if you're seeking your help and your hope in man. That's what he says in verses 3 and 4. But you will praise the Lord. You can't help but praise the Lord if you know the God of Jacob. Verses 5 through 9. Praise the Lord. And therefore, we're called not to seek our help and hope in man. Look at verses 3 and 4. Don't put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. No, he's not rallying here against politicians. Oh, don't put your trust in those politicians. Just trust ordinary people. He's not saying that at all. If you can't put your trust in princes who have the whole treasury, all wealth at their disposal, all the troops at their disposal, they have their hands on the levers of power. If you can't trust in princes, you can't put your trust in any man, in any human being. Don't put your ultimate confidence, don't look for your help and your hope in any human being, because we're not reliable. We're not predictable. We're not ultimate. We're not absolute. Even the best of us will fail our neighbor. We're not, I'm not, you're not the real help, the real hope, the deep help and hope, the everlasting help and hope that a human being needs. And that means, brothers and sisters, don't put your trust in parents. Don't put your trust in pastors, in your employer, your spouse, or any mere man. Why not? Because they cannot save, verse 3. They cannot atone for your sins. They can't heal you when you're sick. They can't raise you from the dead when you die. Why not? Because their spirit departs and they return to the ground. They all die. That's why. Even the best of man is man at best. Man is mortal, and when he dies, his plans, his power, his promises, they die with him. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Man is unreliable. He's forgetful. He's breakable. He's mortal. Our life, brothers and sisters, even on the strongest day of our lives, our life hangs from the tiny thread of one breath. All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flower of the field. Oh, that's man's temptation ever since the fall into sin. Rather than look to our God for help and hope, for all we need, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Rather than look to our God who made us, who has redeemed us, we look to man for our help and our hope. We want our children to get into that group of friends, because then they'll be somebody. Then they'll be happy. And we want to have the favor of our employer, because if we don't, we'll lose our jobs and then life will be nothing. And we'll do everything then to curry the favor, get the approval of our employers as if our life depended upon them. We rely on star power. When I was in grade 2, Elvis Presley died. And how sad, how crushed, how devastated so many people were. They had looked for their happiness and their fullness in this man, this great man. He would come off the plane and crowds, especially the women, would just fall over in exhilaration. So caught up were they in this man, and he died. And their hopes came to nothing. Many of them sadly just looked for help and hope in other star power. I know a man who was totally dependent on his dad. He lay awake at night worrying about his dad dying one day. He was caught up in the fear that one day dad wouldn't be there, and then where would his life be? And this man, by the grace of God, needed to realize that his dad was but a man and could not save him and could not give him a full life. He needed the Lord God of Jacob. Oh, there's so many different ways. There are spouses that depend upon their spouses so completely that they can't even pray without them. That's as if their spouses are even mediators before God for the relationship with God. Do not put your trust in man. Because no matter how healthy, how strong, how rich, how powerful, man cannot save you. Man cannot redeem you. He can't atone for you. He can't give to your breakable, fragile life eternity. And brothers and sisters, if you are depending on man for your fulfillment and satisfaction and happiness and life, you have an idol, and you will perish with that idol unless you repent and turn to the living God and look to Him for your help and for your hope. And that's where the psalm moves to now for most of the rest of it from verses 5 through 9. If you really want to have a life that's full of praise, don't go to man who just fills your life with anxiety. Go to God, blessed. And that word is a glorious word, verse 5. Happy, full, joyful is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I love that expression there, whose help is the God of Jacob, thinking not only of the nation Israel, but the father of the nation Jacob. Could have said Abraham, would have worked. But oh, Jacob was a man whose life was full of sins and troubles, and he was weak. And you see him there because of trickery, forced out of the household of his father Isaac, chased after a murderous heart named Esau. And he's got to leave, and not only leave the household of Isaac, he's got to leave the promised land. And he's got to go to a place he doesn't know, Paddan Aram. And there he's at Bethel. And the Lord shows him in a vision, you are weak. But the God of your fathers, your God, the God of the covenant, is strong. Trust in him. He is El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient one for you, Jacob, in your weaknesses and troubles. And this was the promise, remember, in Genesis 28 at Bethel that God gave to our father Jacob, our weak father Jacob. Behold, says the Lord, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised for you. Happy is he. Even if you're wandering through the wilderness, in time of trouble like Jacob, blessed are you, happy are you. If your hope is in the Lord, the God of Jacob, you place your full weight of your life upon him in all your needs and seek his help every day to take you the whole way from here to glory, to fulfill for you everything that he's promised to you in his covenant. Blessed is he. Those who trust in the Lord will not be put to shame. You'll not be disappointed. You'll not find his promises to be untrue. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord is God. And then there are 11 attributes of God listed in verses 6 and following. Why is he worthy of trusting? Why is he worthy of putting all your hope in him and seeking all your help from him? Look at these 11 attributes with me. Number one, he's the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. Your God, brothers and sisters. Your God, dear people of Israel, in the new covenant too. He owns and controls everything there is, and nothing can get in his way. You know that list of 10 things in Romans 8:38. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor any powers, nor present, nor future, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all created. The number 10, standing for completeness. No matter where the trouble, the pain, the suffering, the hardship comes from, it can't separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus your Lord. He made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Attribute 2, and he keeps truth forever, or he remains faithful forever. Man is faithless, unpredictable, but God is faithful. He's totally reliable. He always keeps his word. His faithfulness is great. He doesn't fail anyone who comes to him for help. He never lacks energy. He never lacks commitment. Even though we as believers fail him so often, he'll never fail us. He keeps truth forever, or he remains faithful forever. You know, there are people in this world that can have a lot of power, but even then they're not safe because they're so unpredictable, they're so unreliable. Well, God has both in his covenant. He is powerful, almighty, maker of heaven and earth and everything in them, and he's faithful. He's committed to us in his love, and he will not let go. And John Calvin writes in his commentary, that first attribute, power, should swallow up all our fears. But it's not merely enough to know that God is merely able to help us, but a further promise is necessary that he's willing to, and he shall help us because of his love. And put these two together, writes Calvin, no room should be left for any hesitation in your life to run to him for your help and your hope. Third attribute, He upholds the cause of the oppressed, the persecuted, the mistreated for the sake of Christ, those hated because we belong to the body of Christ, the people of God. And we think that our cause is unnoticed by God, that maybe He has forsaken us, He's forgotten us, or He's too busy to pay attention. Oh no, He's a God of justice, and He will see to it that our enemies get what they deserve, and that we, His people, will be lifted up. Our cause will be maintained. We'll be vindicated by our God. We'll be rewarded for our faith because of His grace. In all these hardships, as Paul, were more than conquerors. He executes upholds the cause of the oppressed. And fourthly, He gives food to the hungry. He doesn't turn a blind eye even to our physical needs. He cares for us in every need. Fifthly, He sets prisoners free. Think of those who are stuck in the prison of sin, Psalm 107 prisons. And He has the power to break those bars and to let us out and bring us to the day of jubilee, of liberty. That's our God. He sets prisoners free. He gives sight to the blind. And He lifts up those who are bowed down. Attributes 6 and 7. Gives sight to the blind. Lifts up those who are bowed down. The God of the covenant has a heart for those who suffer afflictions of various kinds. In our society, the infirm, the unborn, the elderly are considered worthless, considered worthy of being shelved, if tolerated at all, put on the side, because that's not where the power is. Our God in His kingdom is not like that at all. Consider the miracles of Jesus. Our God has special care and concern in His kingdom for the weak and the needy and the troubled. You touch them, then His wrath comes upon you in a special way. He gives sight to the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. He straightens out those who are bent over with afflictions, who are pressed by burdens and oppressed. And also, He watches, or He loves the righteous. Attribute 8. Who are the righteous in the Bible? But weak sinners who trust in God's promises, who rest in His promises. No matter how hard life gets, they run to Him. He's their help and their hope. Those are the righteous. He loves you. He loves you, and His love will never leave you. You're engraved on the palms of His hands, something that can't be erased. You're as close to God as He is to Himself, just like your arm can never leave you, your hand can never leave you. It goes with you wherever you go. So your name, your life, goes with our God wherever He goes. We think of the promise of the covenant where God says, I am with you. And it's also the other way around. You are with Him. He loves the righteous. The ninth attribute. The Lord watches over the alien, the strangers. He sustains the fatherless and the widow. Again, we see our God's care for the needy and the disadvantaged and the easily exploited and the forgotten ones of society. And while people on earth make them the special target for gain, for personal gain, God makes them the special target of His special care and love. And one more attribute. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. Actually, it's in the Hebrew. The way of the wicked, He turns upside down. He upsets them. And we think often, the wicked hate God and they're getting away with it. And one day they're going to ruin the church completely and they're going to win. Oh no, they won't.
The Lord opposes our enemies. It's one thing for us to oppose them, but you need to know the Lord opposes them. They might seem to have the upper hand at times, but they will not prevail. God will see to it. Our God will not allow Satan's dominion to win. In fact, he will see to it Satan's dominion is finally and utterly destroyed. Now, how can you not go to this God and make him your hope and seek from him your help all the time? You see, these 11 attributes, they're meant to tell us he's got you covered from head to toe, as deep, wide, and long as your life. He is everything, and he has everything. John Calvin again, he writes, all 11 attributes make this one point. The help of God will be ready and forthcoming to those who are in the lowest circumstances, and that our miseries will be no barrier in way of his helping us. Now you trust, brothers and sisters, as you were walking through these attributes with me, you know these are more than words. This is Jesus Christ. This describes him. This is a prophecy of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. These attributes are true not only in what he says, but he backs them up in what he did in sending his Son to be all this for us. Because who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them? All things were made through Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And who is the Lord who remains faithful forever? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not turn away from anyone who comes to him. He won't say, well, now you've gone one step too far for me. I'm not going to take you back. He remains faithful forever. And our Lord Jesus Christ is also the one who upholds the cause of the oppressed. He pronounced blessing on those who suffer for his name. Your reward in heaven is great, he said, when you're persecuted, insulted for my name's sake. He gives food to the hungry. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000 plus women and children as a sign that he cares for and supplies all the needs of his people. No need is hidden from his sight and hidden from his concern. He's the one who gave sight to the blind. Think of his miracles. Set the prisoners free. Remember how he expelled demons from those who were imprisoned by evil. Put them in their right mind so that they could follow him, study him, love him, and serve him. Radically transformed from the prison of sin by the transforming power of Jesus Christ. He gives sight to the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. Remember, Jesus met that woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and she was bent right over. And he touched her. And she straightened right up. Jesus Christ is the life straightener. Removing the burdens. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, bent over, and I will give you rest. Our Lord Jesus. He watches over the alien. He sustains the fatherless and the widow, the frustrate, or the ways of the wicked he turns upside down. He's the rock, he said, who's the foundation for those who build their lives upon him, but he crushes those who reject him. I will build my church, he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. I'll not let the wicked rule. It's Jesus. He lived these 11 attributes. And then he died under all the pains and the needs and the suffering that require these attributes. He suffered oppression. He was cut off from the land of the living so that we, through his finished work, his living, his dying, and then his resurrection, could receive all this help and hope
that God has promised to us, which we don't deserve. But through the door named Jesus Christ, we will receive them all. We'll receive all this God of the covenant. Jesus Christ is the mediator of all the blessings of our covenant God. You see how you can live a life that is full of praise? How can you not? How can I not? The more I get to know this God, the more I get to see His work, understand His love, the more I am filled with love for Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. To live a life that is directed in the way of praise and to help others also to live in this way of praise. He concludes this psalm by saying in verse 10, "The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations." People put their trust in presidents and national leaders. There's so much hype. Remember the hype around Hitler. Christians also just so enthralled at the kingdom he was bringing. Crash. You remember the sadness over the death of the national leader of North Korea. You see, leaders come and leaders go, but your God, O Zion, reigns forever. He will never die, and so His promises and His help and your hope will never die. He's King forever. His promised blessings will never come to an end. Those who trust in Him, their happiness will never come to an end. Your happiness will never come to an end. It would only get better, deeper, and fuller until finally it reaches its zenith in the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus Christ is a high priest who lives and who makes intercession for us at all times, says the book of Hebrews. How should we respond to such a King and Savior? But by coming to Him continually in prayer and with every need and every grief and for all we need. Maybe you know John Newton's hymn, the same man who wrote Amazing Grace. He wrote a song called, "Come, My Soul, Thy Suit Prepare," or in modern language, "Come, My Soul, With Every Care." Listen to what this hymn says. "Come, My Soul, With Every Care. Jesus longs to answer prayer. You are coming to a King. Large petitions with you bring." That's our God. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, this God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Cursed are those who trust in man and in any earthly thing. Everything you are and have will perish with your God, your idol. But this God is the true God. He's the eternal God. He lives and reigns forever. Put your trust in Him and you will live forever with Him and reign forever with Him as His servant and His child. And then the closing. Praise the Lord. There was the opening call. Yes, of course we should. But we study the reasons why. The gospel that lies behind this command. And now we're more ready to hear the command at the end. Praise the Lord. Now that we've seen all the beauty, glory, power, and love of our God and Savior, that fills our hearts with reasons to praise. So I ask again, brothers and sisters, how is your praise life? If your praise life is weaker than it should be, as mine is, the answer is not try harder to praise the Lord. The answer is know your God, the God and Father of Jesus Christ. Study Him. Seek Him. And as you seek Him and know Him and bring all your complaints and worries to Him, you will also discover His praiseworthiness, the greatness of your Redeemer, and your heart too will be more and more lifted up to the praise of the Lord, who is our help and our hope. Amen.